Thank you so much for coming to my website today. This is PJ, your internet pastor, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, on this November the 20th, 2014. Thank you for joining me for another interesting look into the culture of which I am a part. Isn't that amazing? I am ready and willing and able to identify myself with this culture. I don't want to be, as a child of the Most High, separated from anything that I've come in contact with, for the simple fact that me coming into contact with that is for a purpose. Not for a purpose that the culture might influence me, but that I, being far more mature than the younger people in the culture, might influence her. And I address the culture as a female because I believe that the culture has a nurturing aspect to it. And so that's what we're going to look at at this hour. Now, how do we keep our kids from acting like wild ass animals? And I'm not using a derogatory term. Think of a jackass going crazy, just kicking up its proverbial heels at everything that it comes in contact with, destroying all of the social mores that they were raised with or attempted to be raised by, throwing out all of the ethical admonitions that they've been given, only to turn a faint ear to old people's words. So I'm going to give it to you in this way. If one were called to give a reason for the loose behavior in our society today, as well as in the church today, the reason could be found in various and different attitudes of people that call themselves godly in this modern society that we live in. We're going to look at that. One has said that we have been invaded by what has become known as easy believism or cheap grace. Well, it's cheaper than that. And I wouldn't even call it a believism, because what people have done, I believe that they have taken for granted or taken upon themselves to do away with the right kind of way to behave, you know. And so that's what we're going to look at in today's webcast. And since I'll be discussing this on my own, I don't need anyone else's commentary views to come in. I'm just going to give it to you the way I feel it, the way I see it. And then what I'd like you to do, of course, is to listen and to follow along and see where you fit in. It has also been stated, my friends, that these individuals, these people that believe in an easy believism, you know, I'm going to please God and I'm going to please, wow, the enemy of God at the same time. You know, I'm going to live out of this shoebox and I'm going to live out of that shoebox too, and try to mix them both together. Because in New Age religion these days, you know, you can do everything, and your justification is well noted. I was recently confronted with an idea that if I did something, it would make one part of my inner being extremely happy, but the other part of my inner being, the other side of me, the id and the ego, I guess you can say, would have been totally disrupted. And I had to decide whether I wanted to allow that to be a part of my life. No, I can't do that. In other words, if we feign or pretend that we have something, when in reality we are involved in various contradictions or ambiguities, well, it's time for us to fess up to ourselves, not to another person, not to your pastor, not to your pastor teacher, not to your, no. What I want to attempt to do today is to develop a mature sense of the right kind of attitude in our lives, as we examine. Now, if we say that we are godly people, well, then we have to examine what it is that we are godly about. Because if we don't examine that in the real, if we don't examine it in the real, we're going to find ourselves lacking and wanting. And we don't want to do that. Thank you for coming to the website. And I have some scriptures that I'd like you to read, because if you really want to develop a mature Christian sense of what your life is all about, what you want to do is you want to read Matthew chapter 7 through 8. Those are very, very dynamic scriptures. It's taken from what we call the Beatitudes, or this is the attitude that you ought to have. Those two chapters, I believe, are just excellent in this area of identifying who we are. And so I think that if one is serious about their life, they will look deeply at that. So how have I been living as I compare my life? This is the way it really comes across. How have I been living as I compare my life with the words of Jesus? John, you crazy man. Ain't nobody going to be listening to no 2,000-year-old dude that's a white man. Did somebody put some religion in you and try to get these people to believe that? You know, I've said so many times on my webcast that the words of Jesus are not words written by any contemporary in my culture, not even defined adequately by any contemporary in my culture. No. The words of Jesus are dynamic, very dynamic, and they mean an awful lot. I don't know whether you ever looked at it. Let me just, you know, flip the pages and go there a little bit. This whole weekend, I'll be grading papers here in Los Angeles during this time in my life. I'm just going to start, I just started reading. Do not judge lest you be judged. These are the words of Jesus. Don't judge unless you can stand in the place to be judged. And then it says, for in the way that you judge, and this is beautiful, for in the way that you judge, you will be judged. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying the way you look at other people is the same way that the Creator is going to look at you and judge them. You know, if you're selfish and you judge everybody as being selfish and you become selfish, well, then your testimony is that of a selfish person. Most people in the church are selfish. Okay, has any one of us misunderstood the meaning of what easy believism is? Well, I got a job, I got me some money, things are cool. Yeah, but you're letting your children get out of hand. You're giving them tools, the tools, to keep them separated from moral behavior. They're not acting like wild-ass animals. They are. Because what you've done is you've released you've given them other options. You don't even give them a choice anymore. You let them make up their minds. Well, you need to check out these sessions on a daily basis and come to my website. Are you just going to listen to me as another vain Bible teacher giving you some empty, vain Bible study, or you can allow it to affect your life from day to day? So let me give it to you in lessons. Lesson number one, and I like this. Do you think that Jesus is in the happiness business? You know, when you ask the average, and I'm just speaking generally of, because I do African-American apologetics, and so I'm speaking about the black church. And I'm asking this question of the black church. it appears that they have in their minds this happy Jesus. I think about the football player that chastised his son, and the commissioner of football said that he laid him off the whole year because the man said that basically he will continue to do what a father is supposed to do and chastise his son. And I agree with that. Think about no football commissioner. You can take my money, but I'm not going to let my son run my behind. And if my son... All right. Let me lay the premise for you liberals out there that don't believe in corporal punishment. You know, you got wild-ass children because you don't believe in corporal punishment. It was a corporal punishment that held me and my brothers and sisters, my cousins, my uncles and aunts, my mother, my father, all the people in my culture. It held us in check. We were not allowed to just go to the table and take a plate and smash it down to the floor if we didn't like the food. Excuse me. And then to threaten my very parents with the police if they put their hands on me. Let me go get some water to drink. Listen to the music. Listen. I'll be right back. You won't give corporal punishment because you're afraid, because the child has blackmailed you. He, you know, I'm going to tell the teacher if you switch me. You know what? You're supposed to switch that child anyhow. Now, if the government or somebody hears that and come and lock me up, you can lock me up. You're putting an asset to the parent that has a child. God has given you the right. Wait a minute. Let me find it. Here it is. Hold on. Because I'm aware that a lot of you are not familiar with where the text is found in your Bible. If you got one of those things around the house and you want to read it, I want to read under, let me find the place, because I want to find a whole bunch of these texts and share them with you. So you listen to the music while I look it up. All right. First of all, let me share with you something about children. You know, what they are, what the Word says, what the Word of God says about children. Because you see, a lot of you parents out there, especially young parents, don't know these things. And it's important for you to pick up the idea that they're going to be wild-ass animals if you don't take control of their lives. And I mean take control of it now. You know, if you got teenage kids and they're meeting other teenage kids out in the streets out there, And if the game of the day is to knock each other out, okay? You know, we're talking about to knock each other out, to bring this kind of pain on them. No. Children belong first to God, and they are a gift to us. They're not, you know, you just don't get together and lie down and have children and then say, okay, now... I can save on my taxes. I can file them or something, or I can, hey, check this out. I can even use my child and get a Social Security number for my child and get in debt because my child has a different name. And then when they come to try to get the debt that I've created, they come after my child. I know some parents that do that to their own children. Oh, yeah, they've done it. The child is messed up from day one because the parent had them and just used them as a financial commodity, and so that they might get, and no wonder they're wild ass animals in the street. If I knew that my parents did that to me, I'd probably be something just as crazy. See, children belong to God, and they are in covenant. Listen to this in Genesis 17 and 7, the first book in the Bible in the Old Testament says, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. God is saying, I am in charge of their lives, but we raise them up to be wild-ass animals in the street. They're out there cohorting and acting. And then your parents, well, I'm too busy working. I don't know how to get control of them. What you need to do is take that strap from around your waist, Father, and go out and take ownership. And I mean ownership of that child's life. And don't let the life take ownership of your, you know, don't let the child take ownership of your life. I guess that's what I want to say. You know, develop some guts. I'll use those words instead of the other ones, all right? But you know what I'm talking about. Develop some guts about this situation. In terms of the children and what Jesus thought about it in Matthew chapter 21, verses 15 and 16, check it out. He says, when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that he did and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now look at these children back 2,000 years ago in the Temple Mount area shouting praises to God. Do your children do that? Or do they only do it when you take them to the circus, which is the church on Sunday? Because you see, they witnessed then strange ambiguities, because you so holy and high and holy and you love the pastor and you just doing this and doing that, but you're really exploiting their minds, and they know that you're exploiting their minds, but it doesn't matter because that's how you get over. I understand. No wonder our children are like wild ass animals. And those of you youngsters that are listening to me, look, you don't have to tell me. I know how it is. You can't even get a video game and play it without us teaching you how to be wild, killing somebody, maiming somebody, tearing somebody completely apart, because that's what you like doing. That's what your friends like doing. And then when you get them out there, you cannot even tell the difference between a human being and a video game. Because you want to knock them out strong the way you did on the video game. But this is a real human being with the brain connected to the cerebral cortex, to the spine, to every other beautiful working part of that beautiful body that God has given him. And for you boys out there, knocking out other boys like that just for the sake of knocking them out, I'm just not feeling that. If it were my son, I would not feel that. So there's a real reluctance here amongst many people today to resist the right kind of way to live. I'll put it that way. There, because there hasn't been enough self-examination. That's what I'm doing, PJ, this internet pastor type. I'm asking us all to self-examine ourselves. Stop wasting your time trying to examine some other person that says that they believe in God. Examine yourself. Get it right with yourself. Because, my friend, if you can't get it right with yourself, if you can't get it right with yourself, you're not going to get it right at all with anyone. Get it right with yourself. Adult religious people are always pointing the finger at somebody else instead of looking at themselves. I tell you, yesterday I left college and I was walking to my car. And I don't know the names of my students because I'm in the process of grading their essays and papers, and so I don't want them to tell me their names when I speak with them. I'm walking from the classroom, and it was the last class of the day, and I'm walking out to my car. And two young Hispanic men followed me from the class. Two young Hispanic men followed me to my car, and we were having wonderful discussions, and I must have stayed after school about 90 minutes talking with them. And there was one student in particular. He was leaving with his family to go to another country, to Mexico, to see a dying uncle. And he asked me, did I get his email? And I don't know the student's name. And so I said, oh, you're the student that sent me the email saying that you're going to Mexico. And he said, yes. And he said, I wanted to know if I'd be able to turn in some assignments maybe after I got back. And so I said, oh, of course, because his uncle is dying. And the uncle wanted to see the whole family. So the whole family is traveling to Mexico to see this man. And I told the young man, I said, when you go, I said, give me your hand. Give me your hand. And I grabbed his little hand with both of mine. And I said, love him. Love him. Let him go to the other side, feeling the love. I said, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be like a lot of guys are. Well, I don't want to touch something. No, touch him. Especially if he's getting ready to leave the planet. Don't have this sterile, hands-off disposition. And I was thinking as I was driving off of the campus, why don't everybody approach life in this way? You know, why is it always so difficult for people to do the thing that is the most easiest done? And I mean very easily done, because it's very easy to love. It's very easy to love. Love has never been difficult. It's just something that you do. And when you do it and you do it right, it always works. It always gives the results that it's supposed to give. Love does that. You're listening to Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio. The webcast today, like wild ass animals. How do we stop our children from becoming wild ass animals? When they're at an age for chastisement, they should be admonished. You talk to them first, and then if they don't listen, you give them something to listen for. The Bible talks about that. You know, the rod of instruction drives wrath away from a child. Someone said, spare the rod and spoil the child. Well, no, it really doesn't read like that. Nah. You know, what you want to do is you want to discipline your child. And this is a, you know what, people don't like this term. They don't like that. They think light of discipline. But this is what Hebrews 12 and 11 says about discipline. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Let me put this in here. That someone is being disciplined because it is painful. Later on, however, this discipline that you inflict upon the child produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You see, when your child has not been trained by a life of discipline, well, there's a different time. You hear the trash truck going by? Nah, he can't mess up my webcast. Let me drown out the trash truck. I got a son and a daughter, yes I do. I'm not gonna let them get through. If you think I'm gonna let them do a thing to me, you got another thing coming. You got another thing coming. I'm gonna give some discipline. Oh, yes, I am. All right, the trash truck just went by. That's good. Just wanted to kind of like a little preview in there. Discipline. I received it. It didn't kill me. If you're a day over 35, you received it. It didn't kill you. But now in this new age that I'm living in now, you can't even discipline your kid. The state wants to take over telling you how to discipline your child. Right. You know why? Because the state has these state psychologists and all these psychobabble people that are going to, hey, I'm going to tell you, take off that strap and whoop his butt and he won't be a wild ass animal in the street. You better get your children back. And when you get them, hold on to them. Hold tight to them. Now, wait a minute. Let me address some of you that find this webcast offensive. Because, see, not everybody listens to PJ with an open ear and heart. Because they've been programmed that you don't have to discipline a child. What you have to do is you have to find where that child is. And then when you become the aggressively loving parent, you allow the child his freedom and then to let him learn by his own mistakes. No. Because if the child gets in the street and acts like a wild-ass animal and starts fighting in the street like that and somebody hits the child in the head, the child falls down and his cerebral cortex is disconnected, child doesn't have to pay for that. I do. I'm the one that have to leave my job and go to the hospital to check him out, to spend some time with him, because he didn't got his brains knocked loose. I'm the one that got to pay the $150,000 hospital bill. Wouldn't it have been far easier for me to tell him, you don't bring that mess in my house? You know, to start to behave like a parent needs to behave, you know, and that's what we need to do. But you know why we don't behave like a parent needs to behave? Because we're too busy out there doing the same thing. Yeah. Why isn't it a joy for you to examine your life in the first place? You know, most people don't want to examine nothing about themselves. Okay, I'll tell you why. Because we don't desire a faith that is not user-friendly, you know, full of love and happiness. That's what we're looking for. Full of love and happiness. Al Green, right? Yeah, I understand. I understand. But life is not full of Al Green. No, it is not. It has never been that. Well, there is not a deep, long-term joy derived from seriously listening to a man like me and then doing what God demands of you. See, the fulfillment of one's faith, I guess I can put it this way. The fulfillment of one's faith should come through the abiding lack of indifference that you've determined to be true, and then and only then can you really be free. If you live by that abiding determination not to be negative about who you are. See, easy believism is inadequate because all it does is it helps you for the moment that you are believing in your psycho babbleness. But discipline is a daily constraint. It's like when you're confronted in a fight with another person. A disciplined mind would say, what am I doing? This guy's fist is about twice as big as mine. He's swinging like The day is long, and if he ever contacts with my jaw, I've had it. So what am I fighting with him for? I need to run and get away from that. That's wisdom. That's the way you speak to your sons. Or do you, dad says, if he hits you, you stand there and fight like a man. Not if his fist is twice as big as yours. You don't tell your boy to pick up a bat and crash his skull, because then he spends the rest of his life in prison. You see? There's a large group of people out here in this society would like to see many young black boys locked up. They would love for that to take place so that they can put them in prison. Nah, your easy beliefism is totally inadequate. No. The life of the person that really trusts in God is never portrayed as some soft, do as you please existence. The person with a mind that is screwed on his head right is called to a life of obedience in which faith is verified by conduct. I think that's a way to put it. And if you share that with your child, he would be far better. But you have to live that in front of him. Because if your faith is not verified by a particular or a certain conduct, why in the heck do you expect theirs to be that way? This is trash day. You can tell when it's trash day, can't you? They are coming around. See, this life of obedience should flow from us. That's the basis of our relationship with the Christ figure. It's not the church figure. It's not the pastor figure. It's not Sunday. It's not the 11 o'clock Sunday thing. It's not the Wednesday night Bible study or the Tuesday night prayer meeting. No. Those are the frills that come along with it. That's to keep you grounded, honed in, if you require that. If you don't require it, hey. I like when I read the Bible sometimes, or Luke 22:19, Jesus says, do this. In other words, to carry it out, to institute it, to perform it, to act out, to execute it. That's what he's saying. Execute this. Do this. Instead of just this easy believism. This is what we think drives us. And really, my friend, I'm going to tell you, really, it takes much more than that to drive me. Much more than that. Oh, my goodness. Do this. People build their own codes and they develop their own systems these days. That's how they determine what is holy to them, what is acceptable to them, what is righteous to them. I would like to lay this premise that God, the creator of all human beings, and I've never seen him. I have experienced him because he's revealed himself to me in a very unique a priori way. All right? And so that's all I say about that. I don't have any other proof besides that. And then, of course, reading the word. But what Jesus is saying is that he desires that all who has this new and unique standard by which we are to live our lives, that this standard is what we know as standards that make for the proper kind of lifestyle. Okay? The proper kind of lifestyle. And you may say, well, John, who are you to say what is proper? I don't think that taking methamphetamines is a proper way to live. I just don't think that at all. See, people build their own codes and develop their own systems in which they can determine that. But Christ is saying that he desires that all of us have a new and unique standard by which we live our lives. And this standard is what he wants us to have. If we really desire to prove ourselves, then we have to allow God to compare our salvation to the facts of this Sermon on the Mount that I first alluded to at the beginning of this webcast. And that's how you read your Bibles. That's how you read it. Here's the standard. That should be the disposition or the attitude. Then you stop your children from being wild-ass animals. Because when you appropriate the standard to your own life and you're not a wild-ass animal, then your children won't be. And check it out. Your children are witnessing the way you are living in front of them. And so if you're looking for a rebuttal because you're not like that and you're not seeing the rebuttal in the lives of your children, there is a very good possibility that you need to take a closer look. Now, I don't know who I'm speaking to and what I'm speaking about nor what I'm addressing, but I know that what I've said is true because I have to do it all the time. And the key to all of this is found in one word: rightness or righteousness. If you are truly a child of God, then the characteristic of your life will be righteousness. It will be. Now, I want to end up. Let me grab this book. And if you have one, it may be black leather, brown leather, red leather. It may be hardbound. Doesn't necessarily have to be leather at all. But grab one or just take down these particular texts. And when you get an opportunity, because you may be driving, when you get an opportunity, turn to it. I want to read from Acts chapter 10, verse 35. It says, "But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." In other words, in every nation, the man that fears God reverentially, knows that God wants him to raise his babies right, especially the boys that God has given you. Because my God, you know, I was speaking to those two young college students yesterday, and one of them pointed out to me, they said, "Mr. Coleman, did you know that we cannot speak to our peers? We love speaking with you because our peers know absolutely nothing. They're where we are. They know absolutely nothing." So this one student told me, "I don't even know who my father was." A nice boy, working, trying to support his mom and his family, and going to school. Nice as you want to find. And he said, "I never knew my father. I know another kid there in the school. He has no respect for his dad." No wonder our children are like wild-ass animals. These parents that have these 20-something children have just thrown in the towel altogether. And most of them attend, because I asked the students at the college, "Do your parents attend church?" "Yes." I had one female student tell me, "I went with them and I don't know what's going on in that place." I said, "Oh, yeah. You went because you're being loyal to your parents, because if you don't go with them, they may put you out the house." But most of these youngsters have no idea why they're attending. The priest or the preacher, he's not saying anything to break it down. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 10. Here's another verse. "And said, you who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" You know, I asked a couple of days ago on a webcast, because we're living in a society where money is rough. Some of these pastors that are making $250,000 to $300,000 a year, why don't they stop taking the money from the congregants and get a job and work 2 days a week and make the money that their family... You know what those pastors would tell you? They would say, "Oh, come on, man, my lifestyle can't, man. I can't make it work in 2 days a week on some secular job. I didn't got used to $8,500 a month for my house, for my children's education, and all that stuff. Let me read the verse again. Acts chapter 13, verse 10. You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked? In other words, the crooked preachers are making the straight way of the Lord crooked. He says, the straight ways of the Lord. In other words, you are making the straight ways of the Lord crooked. And some of you are treating these guys like gods. I know. You've never heard a pastor talk like this. Yes, I know. Yeah, see, and that average pastor listens to me and they say, who is this? And then they call me a derogatory name. No, I'll say it for you. Who is this nigger talking like this? I know what you want to say. But I'm not some nigger talking like this. I am a man of God who loves the children of God, telling you that you are ticking off God and your children are wild ass animals, and you've created this dilemma, this hypothesis, if you will, of insanity. Stay in the book of Acts and go to, no, I said stay there. I know you want to get away. See, that's your problem. You don't want another verse. You want some hiya, hiya, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shut up with your stupidity. God doesn't hear you. You can read in the Old Testament where he says, don't come to me with your vain babblings and oblations. Now, Acts chapter 17, verse 31 says, because he has fixed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed. You know who that man is, Jesus. See what I mean? You can get the connection throughout this whole book. Having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. That's why myself as a believer in the Christ. This book either was a truth or a lie. Now, I believe that God had to raise him from the dead because there's something in me that keeps me pumped up, motivated, fire lit up, and I will never compromise. But this verse is telling me that the same Christ that everybody is playing off in this easy believism, trying to say that it's adequate and it's inadequate, that the same man that has been appointed to judge you is going to judge you one day. Stay in Acts. Stay in the book. It's a beautiful book. You ought to read through it sometime and go to Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. Oh, I'm having a ball here today. Don't get on my case. Look what it says. And as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix overheard Paul's message. Felix became frightened and said, go away for the present. When I find time, I'll summon you. See, Felix was being admonished by Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, after he had become a believer, and he got scared and said, go away. Now, you don't know how many people in churches told me to go away. No, I'm not going away. I'm going to do this on this webcast until I die. And I want some people to listen to it that know that they're fraudulent in their faith before God. And they use their religiosity, if you will, to justify aberrant behavior. That's what it is. Man, can you believe that? That is the sickest thing. But, well, don't need to go more than 45 minutes today. Thank you for coming to my website for the webcast. I wanted to get something done earlier today. It's still in the morning, and I have time. Now I have to start grading papers. Hey, listen, God bless you. Thank you for coming to my website. Tell your friends about this. And I hope that I've said something. Look, if you got wild ass children, and if some of you youngsters are doing that, remember, just like I'm talking to me, be sure your sin, John Coleman, will find you out. Well, in the same way that my sin will be found out about me, it'll be found out about you too. So let's deal with that. Let's look at ourselves and own up. Now, if you don't believe in sin and you believe that you're your own God and all that kind of stuff, well, then you can ignore what I'm talking about altogether. God bless you. Thanks for coming to the website.